Gracious God, Heavenly Father, we thank you for the gift of your Son, Jesus Christ, the Word made flesh to dwell among us, to live, die, rise, ascend, and to be present with us, forgiving, loving, comforting, and encouraging. We thank you for the gift of the Word that is written for us in Holy Scriptures. Heavenly Father, your Word is truth. Sanctify us by your truth. We thank you, Heavenly Father, that you attach the Word to bread, water, wine, words, demonstrating your power and presence among us. Instill in us today and always a hunger for your Word. Heavenly Father, all these things we pray in the name of the Word, Jesus, for us. Amen. Amen. Hymn 523. Setting 3, page 184. Page 184. Please stand as you're able. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Beloved in the Lord, let us draw near with a true heart and confess our sins unto God our Father, beseeching Him in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ to grant us forgiveness. Our help is in the name of the Lord.
Who made heaven and earth.
I said, I will confess my transgressions unto the Lord.
And you forgave the iniquity of my sin.
O Almighty God, merciful Father, I, a poor, miserable sinner, confess unto you all my sins and iniquities, with which I have ever offended you, and justly deserved your temporal and eternal punishment. But I am heartily sorry for them, and sincerely repent of it. And I pray you of your boundless mercy, and for the sake of the holy, innocent, bitter sufferings and death of your beloved Son, Jesus Christ, to be gracious and merciful to me, a poor, sinful being. Upon this your confession, I, by virtue of my office as a called and ordained servant of the Word, announce the grace of God unto all of you. And in the stead and by the command of my Lord Jesus Christ, I forgive you all your sins in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
We sing together the introit appointed for the day.
Awake, why are you sleeping, O Lord? Rouse yourself, do not reject us forever. For our soul is bowed down to the dust. Rise up, come to our help. O God, we have heard our ears, our fathers have told us what deeds you performed in their days, in the days of old. You, with your own hand, drove out the nations, but them you planted. You afflicted the peoples, but them you for our soul.
Let us pray. O God, the strength of all who put their trust in you, mercifully grant that by your power we may be defended against all adversity. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Continue with the readings. Please be seated. The Old Testament reading for Sexagesima is from Isaiah 55. For as the rain and the snow come down from heaven, and do not return there, but water the earth, making it bring forth and sprout, giving seed to the sower and bread to the eater, so shall my word be that goes out from my mouth. It shall not return to me empty, but it shall accomplish that which I purpose, and shall succeed in the thing for which I sent it. For you shall go out in joy and be led forth in peace. The mountains and the hills before you shall break forth into singing, and all the trees of the field shall clap their hands. Instead of the thorn shall come up the cypress. Instead of the briar shall come up the myrtle. And it shall make a name for the Lord, an everlasting sign that shall not be cut off. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Continue with the gradual appointed for the day. Let your enemies know that you alone, whose name is the Lord, are the Most High over all the earth. O my God, make them like whirling dust, like chaff before the wind. The epistle is from Hebrews chapter 4. So then, there remains a Sabbath rest for the people of God. For whoever has entered God's rest has also rested from his works as God did from his. Let us therefore strive to enter that rest, so that no one may fall by the same sort of disobedience. For the word of God is living and active, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing to the division of soul and of spirit, of joints and of marrow, and discerning the thoughts and intentions of the heart. And no creature is hidden from his sight, but all are naked and exposed to the eyes of him to whom we must give account. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Please stand for the reading of the Holy Gospel. The Holy Gospel according to St. Luke, the 8th chapter.
Glory be to thee, O Lord.
When a great crowd was gathered, and people from town after town came to Jesus, he said in a parable, a sower went out to sow his seed, and as he sowed, some fell along the path and was trampled underfoot, and the birds of the air devoured it. And some fell on the rock, and as it grew up, it withered away because it had no moisture. And some fell among the thorns, and the thorns grew up with it and choked it. And some fell into good soil, and grew and yielded a hundredfold. As he said these things, he called out, he who has ears to hear, let him hear. And when his disciples asked him what this parable meant, he said, to you it has been given to know the secrets of the kingdom of God, but for others they are in parables, so that seeing they may not see, and hearing they may not understand. Now the parable is this. The seed is the word of God. The ones along the path are those who have heard. Then the devil comes and takes away the word from their hearts, so that they may not believe and be saved. And the ones on the rock are those who, when they hear the word, receive it with joy. But these have no root. They believe for a while, and in time of testing, fall away. As for what fell among the thorns, they are those who hear. But as they go on their way, they are choked by the cares and riches and pleasures of life, and their fruit does not mature. As for that in the good soil, they are those who, hearing the word, hold it fast in an honest and good heart and bear fruit with patience. This is the gospel of our Lord. Confess the faith using the words of the Nicene Creed. I believe in one God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and of all things visible and invisible, and in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, begotten of his Father before all worlds, God, God, light of light, very God of very God, begotten, not made, being of one substance with the Father, by whom all things were made, who for us men and for our salvation came down from heaven, and was incarnate by the Holy Spirit of the Virgin Mary, and was made man, and was crucified also for us under Pontius Pilate. He suffered and was buried, and the third day he rose again, according to the Scriptures, and ascended into heaven, and sits at the right hand of the Father, and he will come again with glory to judge both the living and the dead, whose kingdom will have no end. And I believe the Holy Spirit, the Lord and giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son together is worshipped and glorified, who spoke by the prophets. And I believe in one holy Christian and apostolic church. I now have one baptism for the remission of sins, and I look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen. Please be seated. We continue with our hymn of the day, Preach Ye the Word, 586.
Preach you the word. so shall my word be that goes out from my mouth. It shall not return to me empty, but it shall accomplish that which I propose, and shall succeed in the thing for which I sent it. Grace, mercy, peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. The text for our sermon this morning comes from the Old Testament lesson read a few moments ago from the 55th chapter of the prophet Isaiah, dear friends in Christ. In the center of God's creation stood a garden. It was full of beautiful plants, producing its fruit bountifully, continually, for the good of both man and beast. But man ruined this garden. He spoiled that wonderful gift that had been given to him for his good by succumbing to the devil's temptations. He didn't just condemn himself to death. He condemned the garden to corruption. And now, weeds grew up, thorns and thistles that choked out the good plants. It was no longer a pleasure to tend the earth, but instead it only gave up its fruit through back-breaking labor. And you've seen the effects of this. You have pulled those thistles. You have worked the ground, or at least you have seen others around you do the same. Now, gardening can be enjoyable, and I think it's mostly because the stakes aren't all that high. The grocery store is always around the corner. But farming? Stressful. Ulcer-inducing. For you depend upon the fruit of the ground to feed your family. And the very earth rebels against every attempt to make it fruitful. And dear friends, every thistle, every weed, every drought, every flood is a reminder that we live in a corrupted world. It is a reminder that you and I are sinful and corrupted. But despite our sin, the Lord, in His gracious abundance, has not abandoned the garden. He continues to provide for it in His gracious abundance. Every timely rain is a gift from His gracious abundance. Every snow which will slowly soak into the ground is a gift from Him. Every day of sunshine is directly from His providence. Every harvest, every seed that grows is still His work. The rain and the snow come down from heaven and do not return there, but water the earth, making it bring forth and sprout, giving seed to the sower and bread to the eater. We've all lived through droughts, right? We know what $1 million rain is. At least I think we do. I've heard that term before, when the farmers in Nebraska can turn off their wells for 2 or 3 days. The water doesn't return empty, but it accomplishes that for which it was sent. It makes the earth grow and flourish. God still provides, despite our sin, for this corrupted, sinful garden. And in the same way, He still provides for His thirsty, corrupted, sinful people by raining down upon us the Word. So shall my word be, which goes out from my mouth. It shall not return to me empty, but it shall accomplish that which I propose, and shall succeed in the thing for which I sent it. The rain we can see. The snow, we can see. We can understand. We know exactly how it provides for God's garden. We watch it. We see the rain, and we know it has the power to make alive, to renew, and to strengthen. But the Word, its effects, we don't see. When someone hears the Word, they don't grow 3 feet taller. They don't change colors. We can't see the Word's effects. And so, we do not understand it. For if we truly understood the power of the Word, we would thirst for it even more than the dry ground thirsts for water. The only way you would be kept away from the divine service were if someone physically restrained you, if you were sick or had snow piling around your door. You would drink in every Bible class, and you'd be pestering us day after day asking for more. If you truly understood the power of the Word, you would begin or end every day in that Word, drinking deeply of what our Lord gives there. What the Word would be on your lips in your various vocations, as you prayed to the Lord, as you confessed His name. As corrupted and as sinful as this world is, it still has the good sense not to reject the water that our Lord pours down from heaven. Instead, it drinks deeply of His gifts. So often, not you and not me. We cut ourselves off from the life-giving rain of the Word. We dehydrate ourselves while the waters pour down in this place. God states that His Word will not return to Him empty. But so often the world and even the church treats it as if it were empty, as if it were worthless. You see, we scorn the Word because it doesn't seem very successful at all. Unlike the rain, which makes the corn grow taller and creates a harvest that you can quite literally bring to the bank, the effects of the Word are much less visible. Think about the parable of the sower. We just heard it in our gospel lesson. We sang about it in the hymn. 3/4 of the seed doesn't produce any harvest. That's why the hymn calls it reckless love. 3/4 of the seed makes no harvest, which I don't think would make many gardeners or farmers very happy. No wonder so many churches and so many Christians think that something has to be added to the Word for it to have any effect. There has to be something else, right? The Word by itself can't have such power because it seems so ordinary and causes such little outward success. Surely a book or some words spoken by a sinful man don't look like much. But success in God's eyes is something quite different. He sends out His Word to accomplish that which He desires. And what does He desire? He tells us in the book of Ezekiel. Have I any pleasure in the death of the wicked, declares the Lord God, but not rather that he should turn from his way and live? God desires that no person should die in their sin. He has no pleasure in the death of any wicked person, whether it's you or me, or Larry Nassar, Jerry Sandusky, Kermit Gosnell, and so many others we can think of. His definition of success is sinners turn from their wickedness in repentance and faith. sins forgiven, corruption destroyed. And his word is successful because it does just that. And the word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we have seen his glory. Glory as of the only Son from the Father, full of grace and truth. God's word was sent to this corrupted world to accomplish God's purposes by taking on human flesh and walking among us as a man, God and man in one person, Jesus Christ. God sent out his powerful word to cleanse this earth of its corruption, to restore the garden to the way that it was in the beginning, to restore sinful, corrupted people like you and me to himself. So shall my word be that goes out from my mouth. It shall not return to me empty, but it shall accomplish that which I propose and shall succeed in the thing for which I sent it. His word did not return to him void, but accomplished everything which God sent it to do. But the success of the word doesn't look much like success. The success of God is a man hanging upon a cross, suffering and dying. The success of God is the Word made flesh, bleeding, dying, pouring out his blood upon the thorn-infested ground to cleanse it, to renew it, to restore it. The success that God sought was that sin would be paid for, that you would be delivered from all the corruption that has filled you since conception. And Jesus did it all for you. The Word did not return to the Father's throne void, but having taken flesh, he accomplished your salvation. The Lord poured out his word upon his thirsty, corrupted garden, and it succeeded in the thing for which he sent it. For the success and victory of God is a dead Jesus upon a cross, rising triumphantly 3 days later. The success of God is a sinner preaching to other sinners, people being baptized, Christians being fed Christ's body and blood. The success of God is sinners being forgiven. His word makes you new, a child of God, cleansed and forgiven from your sin and corruption. His word was sent out to you to turn you from your sin in repentance and faith. And it has not returned void. It forgives your sins. It works faith within you. The Word restores you to your God. Only the power of the Word can do it. Only it can transform enemies of God into His beloved children. And the Word comes to us in such humble means, in a book, through the lips of a pastor, joined with ordinary water, bread, and wine. But in those means, it has power. The power to make all things new. For God doesn't stop with transformed people. The Word has gone forth to transform the entire creation, to renew and restore the garden. Instead of the thorn shall come up the cypress. Instead of the briar shall come up the myrtle. On the last day, the garden will emerge once again, and the thorns will be no more. Jesus wore a crown of thorns, a symbol of the world's corruption, in order to bring an end to all thorns, an end to all corruption forever. On that day, all will be made new. All will be renewed. For the Word gave his life to cleanse this world of sin and death. The new heavens and the new earth, it's the new garden, established and sustained by the power of the Word of God. All creation will rejoice in that day, for our bonds have been loosed. We have been redeemed and saved. All things have been transformed by the Word of the Lord. You shall go out in joy and be led forth in peace. The mountains and the hills before you shall break forth into singing, and all the trees of the field shall clap their hands. The very creation will rejoice, for God's word did not return empty, dear friends, but it accomplished all it was sent to do. And his word will pour out on this new garden, the new creation, forever. That is your destination. That's your home, your dwelling place for eternity. For the power of the Lord's word has transformed you from death to life. For eternity, the new heavens and the new earth will declare God's character, that he is a God of love who delivered creation from its bondage through the power of his word. It shall make a name for the Lord, an everlasting sign that shall not be cut off. As we sojourn in this sinful world, we, you and I, dear friends, we are living, breathing examples of the power of the Word. We are living, breathing examples that we have a God of love, showing the world that God's word does not return void. And for eternity, we, along with the new creation, will stand as a memorial to God's goodness, declaring that his word did not return empty, but accomplished everything for which he sent it. The success of the word, hidden to our human eyes, will be revealed on that day, clearly shown forth in a new creation that will never be corrupted again. In the name of Jesus, the Word made flesh. Amen. We stand and we sing the offertory, page 192.
Again, welcome in the name of Jesus, the Word made flesh for us and for our salvation. This time we ask that you participate in what we call the rite of fellowship. Pat at the end of each row, please sign your name. Visitors, glad you're here. Please share with us your mailing address so we can acknowledge your presence in worship today. Special word of welcome to those who are worshiping on the radio or on the internet. We pray that the good news of God's Word for you would be yours today and always. We worship God now with our gifts and offerings. Please stand for prayer. In addition to those prayer requests that are listed in our news and notes, we rejoice with Good Shepherd member Mark Simnett, who has returned home following a lengthy hospital stay. And also, we pray for Good Shepherd member Alvin Schmeling, who is undergoing surgery this morning. We pray. Let us pray for the whole church of God in Christ Jesus and for all people according to their needs. For the church, that all the baptized would continue to hear the word of God, hold it fast in honest and good hearts, and bear fruit with patience. Let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For the office of the holy ministry, that the seed of God's word would be sown and find good soil in many through the preaching of the gospel and the administration of the sacraments. Let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For the nations of the world and their leaders, that all who receive the sword as your servant may bear it according to your command, and that war, hate, and bloodshed may be overcome by peace, justice, and mercy. Let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For our Christian brethren around the world facing persecution and martyrdom, especially in the Middle East and Africa and China, that they may, by grace and the power of the Holy Spirit, confess the saving name of Jesus Christ in the face of their persecutors, remembering that He will confess them before His Father in heaven. Let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For the institution of holy marriage and the blessings of family, we give thanks to the Lord, that these gifts would be cherished and honored in our society and especially within the communion of saints. Let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For all those enduring a time of sickness or suffering in this veil of tears, that they would know the peace that the world cannot give, commending each into the Father's loving hands and asking for a happy issue out of all their troubles. Let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For the gift of life, we give thanks to you, Heavenly Father, for the blessings of a son, James Michael, to Aaron and Rachel Wagner, and looking forward to James' washing of rebirth in the waters of holy baptism, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For all the faithful in whom the seed of God's word had been planted and cultivated until they departed this vale of tears in faith, let us give thanks to the Lord, asking Him to bring us to share in the joys of the unending feast with them. Let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For this holy house and for all who offer here their worship and praise, that reverence and awe would attend them as they enter into the dwelling place of their Lord and Savior, especially as they approach the holy altar to receive the very body and blood of Jesus for their forgiveness and strengthening of faith. Let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
Into your hands, O Lord, we commend all for whom we pray, trusting in your mercy through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord.
Amen.
Continue now with the service of the sacrament, page 194. Page 194.
The Lord be with you.
Lift up your hearts. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. It is truly meet, right, and salutary that we should at all times and in all places give thanks to you, Holy Lord, Almighty Father, everlasting God, through Jesus Christ our Lord. For what had been hidden from before the foundation of the world, you have made known to the nations in your Son. In Him, being found in the substance of our mortal nature, you have manifested the fullness of your glory. Therefore, with angels and archangels, with all the company of heaven, we laud and magnify your glorious name, evermore praising you and saying,
Holy,
together. Our Father,
who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
Our Lord Jesus Christ, on the night when he was betrayed, took bread. When he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to the disciples and said, Take, eat. This is my body, which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me. In the same way also he took the cup after supper. When he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, Drink of it, all of you. This cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. The peace of the Lord be with you always.
body of Christ lives for you. The body of Christ lives for you. The body of Christ lives for you.
Thank you. the very body and blood of our Lord and Savior Jesus,
strengthen and preserve you in both body and soul unto life everlasting. Depart in peace and joy. Your sins are forgiven. Amen.
Continue with the Nunc Dimittis, page 199. Please stand as you're able.
Unto the Lord, for he is good.
And his mercy endureth forever.
Let us pray. We give thanks to you, Almighty God, that you have refreshed us through this salutary gift. And we implore you that of your mercy, you would strengthen us through the same in faith towards you and in fervent love toward one another. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
The Lord be with you.
Bless we the Lord.
The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace.
Amen. Amen. Amen.
Please remain standing for our closing hymn, number 582. God's Word is our great heritage, 582. For us and for our salvation. Encourage you to check out the Good Shepherd news and notes, lots of information, inserts, the activities and events that are happening in the days and weeks ahead. We have kindergarten roundup, preschool registration. The big thing this week is the pancake dinner on Tuesday. It is a fundraiser for the Pediatric Cancer Action Network, PCAN. We're in pretty good shape with the sign-up sheet out there as far as people to help cook and serve and do all that kind of stuff. We are not in very good shape with the sign-up for helping to clean up. I suppose that's typical, huh? Maybe that's the sinful nature working. Anyway, if you can help out at all on Tuesday, especially with the cleanup, check out the sign-up sheet out there, and it's a great cause. At least come and eat pancakes and help support the Pediatric Cancer Action Network. Last Sunday, we celebrated and observed Sanctity of Human Life Sunday. The table is still set up. It's not going to be up there much longer. So if there's any brochures or anything there, help yourself. And we are thankful to God for His gift of life. We'll have Sunday school opening in here in about 8 to 10 minutes or so. You're all invited for coffee and goodies in the fellowship hall. We have one adult Bible study today. If you've ever wondered why our Savior had to be both God and man at the same time, this is the Bible study. We're looking at the Formula of Concord, Article 8, the Person of Jesus. The Person of Jesus. Next week, we'll start a new Summary of Christian Doctrine class, 9:30, room 109. So anybody that would like to find out more about what Lutheran Christians believe, teach, and confess, or a review of the catechism, that'll start next Sunday, room 109 at 9:30. Pastor?